Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, Sean, take out your pen. People love to come up with ideas, or someone emailed me with a future Cinco de Fivo idea for Sean Morris, and I'm sure you're always open to those.
Yeah.
Cinco idea for Sean, 5 best ways to bitch out of a bet. So write that one down for...
5 best ways to bitch out of a bet.
There you go. And you don't know what we're talking about, rewind on the Odyssey app to about 4:45
bitch
and you will
out?
Hear... Bitch out,
okay,
yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank you very much. So I put a poll out the other day about Giants and Jets, because it's a bad state of affairs right now. Which team would you rather be a fan of right now? And I was expecting the results to be like 80-20 Giants. Because as bad as things are for the Giants, I really believe, and maybe I'm being biased, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's far worse to be a Jet fan. Because you know how you can go to sleep at night and you can think about a memory?
Yeah.
And that memory will give you excitement, pleasure, and happiness.
Right.
Giant fans can do that. They can go to their memory bank and think of something amazing. They could think of you having a great regular season performance against the Washington then-known Redskins. They could think back to, you know, I don't know, Eli Manning's debut or one of the Super Bowls or 41-0 against the Vikings. They got a lot of memories right in that bank.
Or 2 years ago going to the playoffs.
Even 2 years ago.
Winning a game against the Vikings.
But ultimately, if you're a Giant fan and you are my age or even a little bit younger, you've got a Super Bowl or two Super Bowls that you remember. If you're a little bit older, you've got
4 Super Bowls
that you can remember. If you're a Jet fan, you have to be a senior citizen to have the memory of winning a championship. So despite both teams being in a sad state, I would still lean towards I'd rather be a Giant fan. The poll results were much closer than I thought. 59% said Giants, 41% said Jets. And I think that's a sad state of affairs on where we are right now, that the gap has actually been closed. Because Giant fans are that down on the state of their franchise right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be optimistic, right? Because it doesn't feel like there's a... You don't know what the path is, even though there is a likelihood of drafting a quarterback. I know that Joe Shane is out in Colorado again, right? Visiting... Because it's not even... I mean, the game's this weekend. No, it's not even this weekend, is it?
Colorado, I think, plays Friday night, but they're at practice, though.
Right, so he's at practice.
So he's watching Shedeur Sanders practice?
He's watching him practice.
Interesting.
I don't remember the rules anymore because I'm so removed and I don't really pay attention to whether or not you can go have a conversation at these visits.
I can't imagine that you can.
I can't either, but everything's changed because of NIL. And I mean, these guys have agents now before they're even left school. So maybe, who knows, whatever it is, he's watching Shedeur Sanders. So I guess there is some optimism about what the future is holding, but it feels so far away.
Yeah, but even that optimism of scouting Shedeur Sanders and the possibility of picking one or two, that's likelier if you're a Giant fan than it is a Jet fan. The only advantage,
don't even know who would be doing that,
right?
If you're a Jet fan.
Now, look, I think that adds a complication. Like, the Giants could very well change their GM and head coach. How likely is that? I think a lot of it is based on how this season ends, as we've talked about.
Yes.
We already know the Jets are changing their GM and head coach. We already know that. But you also have the Aaron Rodgers problem. Like, you have that kind of confusion. Plus, I think it's very simple with the Giants. Whether it's Joe Shane or someone else, they're taking a quarterback at the top of their draft. They are. They're going to take one. I don't know if that's what the Jets are going to do. There's a lot more uncertainty about them in the future. So, I don't know, man. I'm being honest as a Jet fan. I'd much rather be a Giant fan. I really would. And if that's me being too negative, maybe it is. Maybe it's paying too much homage to the history of what the Giants have accomplished and just realizing that the Jets are just, we're just losers. It's like, I looked in the mirror after the net thing failed with Kevin Durant, and I looked in the mirror and I said, I'm never going to see this franchise win a championship. It's never going to happen. If they couldn't win with Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving, we're destined to be losers. We're going to win nothing. And I had that
Nets still in the league.
I had that conversation with myself, and I accepted that. And I'm starting to feel that way about the Jets. They brought in Aaron Rodgers with this uber-talented roster. They couldn't even make the playoffs. Right. They couldn't even finish a season with us being happy. It's almost that same reality where I'm going to have to look in the mirror. Maybe I'll do it tonight. There's no sports on tonight. And just say, it's never going to happen.
I'm a loser. Dude, I'm old enough to remember 3 years ago when in Detroit they were selling Matthew Stafford Rams Super Bowl shirts and celebrating that like it was their own Super Bowl. And now look at them.
Yeah.
And I'm old enough to remember when people wanted the Lions off Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Now they're the biggest draw. Things can change.
Yeah, but it feels like it took forever for that Lions thing to change.
And it's taken forever for the Jets. Look, right now you're right. You'd rather be a Giant fan. Maybe you get the top pick. Maybe you hit on quarterback. Guess what? A year from now, it might feel like they missed on quarterback, and the Jets could be the worst team trending towards Arch Manning, and then you'd say, I'd rather be a Jet fan right now.
Thank you, Sean.
That can change quickly.
That Lion thing helped a little bit. Thank you, man.
That's true.
No, I appreciate that. You didn't have to do that. It's honest. It's true. And what? You don't buy that team?
No, I mean,
he's like, you're dead, Evan. Just
look, they had to hire the right guy. Of course, there's a million things they have to do, Jets.
Well, they also had an ownership group that accepted that their process of doing things was flawed.
Mm.
And then they hired a group of, not even hired, I think it was consulting with a bunch of veterans, meaning alumni. And then, who was the GM? Spielman? And then they had a group of former executives come in and just help them find.
Well, isn't that basically what the Jets are trying to do now?
No.
Mike Tannenbaum, Rick Spielman?
No, you're right. Yeah. So, I mean, so at least they're doing best practices on how to get it right. And not just believe, oh, this is the guy I want. I don't think the Detroit Lions knew that Dan Campbell was their guy.
Mm.
I think it took a process, and then they collectively found the right guy, and look what's happened.
Yeah. You guys have made me feel better. I was pretty depressed talking about how depressing it is being a Jet fan.
By the way, prior to Brad Holmes, it was Bob Quinn for 4 years.
Bob Quinn. How about that?
I don't even remember that.
I barely meet either.
Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. How are you, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, I was going to get to my Jets and Giants if you'd let me, but before, I have to defend Sean here on not accepting this bet, especially this week, because as I was on hold, I did do some research, and Evan, of all people to get on someone who is unwilling to commit, and Sean, I commend you, because
thank you.
This week, a year ago, Evan, Mr. Pete Alonso showed up at MSG wearing a shirt that said, I love New York.
Mm-hmm.
And you, on Memorial Day, this kickoff to summer, shaved off a promise that you made this week. So, Sean, I commend you for not committing to something you're not prepared to see through.
I'd like to respond to that, Kendrick. And, of course, you can make all of your points after that. I'm not going to cut you off, but you did attack me, sort of, for my Pete Alonso beard. So, yes, a year ago, and thank you for addressing that anniversary, I declared out of loyalty to Pete, I would grow my beard and hair out until Pete Alonso got his rightful contract extension.
Mm-hmm.
And I proceeded to do that for 8 months. And the beard got long, and it got sweaty, and it got smelly, and I became a caricature of my once proud self. And then finally, Pete Alonso showed me signs that it was okay to shave the beard.
Because he shaved his?
Well, because I needed to spark him, and I needed to spark the Mets. And it worked. Pete ended up hitting one of the biggest home runs in the history of the franchise. The Mets ended up turning their season around. And yeah, my beard disappeared, but it disappeared for a greater good. Sean refusing to bet that his Ranger team will go further than the Nick team is nothing but just being scared. There's nothing he's doing for the Rangers.
Then I'm going to do something. I'm going to do
Don't
something.
Don't steal right. what I did.
No, I'm not. I'll do something different. I already have a beard. I will not pick one piece of lint out of my belly button until the Rangers win a cup.
Oh, come on. There's an image.
Oh, God. I'll let it pile up in there until basically it looks like a dryer sheet.
No. I got something, Kendrick, and I think you'll be okay with this since you brought up the beard growing and me refusing to cut my hair. I'll be good. Sean, don't cut your hair until the Rangers season is complete.
This is an Evan fetish.
Can't do that.
Why can't you do that?
I personally can do that. I cannot do that in my house.
Oh, really? So remember the beard I grew for 8 months?
Great.
Yeah, I did that. Now it's your turn.
Can't do it.
Why can't you do it?
Can't do it.
Okay, so you can't do anything. Anything that's hard, you can't do.
Do you know how hard it is to leave lint in your belly button?
Stop with the lint in the belly button. Nobody wants to look at you. No one will know you have lint in your belly button.
Doesn't it naturally come out when you take a shower?
Dude, this thing's deep. It's like an in-ground pool.
And anyhow, we'll discuss it at a later date. Kendrick, I apologize. You've waited a while. What's the rest of your point?
No problem, guys. So, yeah, Tiki, you covered the Giants game this past weekend, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
the Jets
did.
The week before. So you saw a lot of bad football the past 2 weeks in MetLife. Yes. Probably the only person on this planet that stayed besides your partners there for all eight quarters of those two games. But when the Bucs come to town, the last time they were here, Antonio Brown quit on the Bucs when he was playing the Jets.
It's
and
true.
Then it seems like some of the Giants, and I know you guys are thinking that Dave will turn the locker room back around or never lost the locker room, but to me, the apologies or the walkbacks that Malik Nabers and Dexter Lawrence had today sounded like in Home Alone 2 when Peter McAllister forces Buzz and Kevin to apologize in front of the whole family, and everyone knows they don't mean it. And then literally the next day, he loses his family. And to me, Dable has lost respect. I don't know if he's lost the locker room, but a lot of these guys seemingly are upset with how things have been handled.
Well,
and the one thing that I cannot... Sorry.
I was going to say, the one thing that... So this team is so young. I think half of them don't know what the hell they're even talking about. So they can get up and they can say whatever they say, but they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what we're referring to. I mean, most of these guys on the opposite side of the ball are under 27 years old. Daniel Jones was the old one, like an old head there. Drew Locke is actually, but Drew Locke is the oldest guy on this team other than Manhurts. He's 28 years old. All these guys are young players. Defensively, it's not too different. And so you think you know what you're saying, but you don't know the grind of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't know how to weather adversity. A lot of these guys come from programs in college where they were just great. Right? Malik Nabers, not that LSU was great, but he was a great player. They had 2,000-yard receivers last year, Brian Thomas and him. So he's not used to not having individual success. They didn't have a ton of team success, but he's not used to not having individual success. They pay those guys on the other side of the ball, too. And so it's easy to let those frustrations seep out, even though it's not productive at all, ever.
Yeah, it's very simple to me. Those answers, and we played them a little bit earlier, of Malik Nabers sort of doing a 180
mm-hmm.
and Dexter Lawrence doing a 180, you could rewind to about 4:30 and hear that. They sounded like Brian Daboll got to them and said, hey, don't talk like that, clean that up.
Yeah.
And if Kendrick wants to look at it as one of those forced apologies, that's fine. You know what's going to prove all of us right or wrong? Thursday.
How you play.
Go play.
That's really the only thing that matters.
That's literally the only thing that matters. Like, hearing those things after the game Sunday was a bad look.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst look was how they played.
Right.
So every comment that I make or you make or any of us make about they quit, they didn't quit, they're soft, they didn't soft, here's what we could all agree on. They played unacceptable football on Sunday. If
right.
that continues, everyone's losing their job. So on Thursday, on Thanksgiving, in front of a national audience, a game you can hear right here on WFAN, play football. Don't embarrass yourself. Because if you embarrass yourself, then all the words that were used mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Go play. Go ball out.
Right. It's even hard. It's like there's nothing else to say about them.
That's right? The reality.
You sit and scream and yell and have whatever opinion you want. Just if they play well, then we know that it was an anomaly. Because as I said yesterday, and go watch the games, they're not winning, but they're not getting blown out like they did against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Though I do think, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, if you look at the Giants' schedule the rest of the way, they play a lousy Cowboy team on Thanksgiving. They play a very beatable Saints team at home. After that, there are a lot of challenging games.
Right.
The Ravens are a very challenging game. Going to Atlanta is a challenging game. We'll see where the Colts are week 17. Could be a challenging game. And obviously the last game against the Eagles. They're going to have to win a game or two.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I don't think you can survive 2-15.
Yeah.
So even if they are playing better and tougher and close games, I've had this opinion for a while and I stand by because I just can't imagine we're sitting here in January off a 2-15 season in which they lost their last, I guess it would be 12 in a row, right? Is that what it would add up to?
Yes.
Yeah. You can't be getting worse. That's what it comes down to. Winning, losing, regardless. You can't be getting worse.
Oh.
And it, And it feels like yesterday or whatever, Sunday, was worse.
And I kind of think when and if they win these games matter. Thursday's a good example of that. It's their last time on national TV not to be embarrassed, number one. Number two, can they really go winless at home?
Mm. Yeah, we looked it up the other day. They had a winless home season in the 70s. I think it was 1974, if my memory on looking it up was correct. And by the way, in 1974, I think that was one of those weird years where they didn't really have a home. Because the Giants had a couple of years where they played their home games one year at Shea Stadium, believe it or not. And then one year they played it at the Yale Bowl. In fact, the year I'm looking at, 1974, they had a two-win season. And they went 0-4 at home. Their home games were played at the Yale Bowl. So you could even argue, was that really a winless home season?
Right.
I mean,
not really.
It is, but it isn't. It's like one of those, you're playing at the Yale Bowl.
Winless. You're going to have to drown your sorrows at the Yale House.
You're funny, man.
That was such a fake laugh.
I'm scared of your mom now, so I'm going to laugh at that joke. It was a very funny joke.